fifth chapter, Radial Operations. We get in discussion, let's check the content for this module. We talk about radial operations here, and we can broadly understand it by the following: the store design and the layout, visual merchandising, category management and merchandising, supply chain management, pricing in retail, franchising in retail, human resource management in retail. So these are the topics that we're going to discuss. Now, let's move to the first topic here, the store design and the layout. Now, the store design is the direct point of contact for the customer, and it is one of the most important and critical aspects for making a sale work. Like, just to give you an idea, millions of square feet of premium retail space have been created in India in the past couple of years. Now, retailers are increasingly seeking professional help to ensure that the architects and the designers are able to beautify the space, okay, and create that kind of an experience for these consumers. Now, below are the various factors relating to the store design and impacting the customer purchase. Now, here we are talking about primarily the store location. The location of the store determines not only its access and visibility, but the segment of customers it's going to cater to. The retail format, the second point. Whether a store is a luxury shopping destination or a departmental store plays a lot on customers' mind as to how the store will be designed. Because when you talk in terms of, say, a customer walking into a store, having a feel that he's entering a luxury segment, okay, or a store selling luxury. Now, you may have, you know, very expensive products which will be there up for sale, but the experience while walking into a store does not make you feel important or feel different or feel that you are entering into a luxury segment. You won't be able to relate to the products that have been kept for sale at the store. The store image and the theme. The image of the store is how the customer perceives the store to be, or the message the retailer is trying to communicate through the store. A very important factor that constitutes various elements. Objectives of a store design. A retailer should intend to accomplish the following objectives through store layout and design. Get the desired image. The store image is a perception of the consumer has about the store. For example, a big bazaar. The stores have the look and feel of a typical Indian bazaar. And the intention is to make the consumer or the customer feel that he has come to a bazaar to make his or her purchases. Store operations efficiency. A planned store layout helps in efficiently manage and integrate front end of the store with the back end operations. When I say efficiency in terms of front end and the back end operation, that would mean to check exactly, you know, the commodities which are there are for sale, to ensure that the stocks are replenished as and when required. Maximizing sales. A properly planned store designs ensures proper merchandise display, suitable exposure to all the key elements of the store, thereby ensuring a customer-friendly layout and impulse shopping. Another aspect, you know, which helps in terms of a store design or the objectives of a store design is the prevention of shrinkage. Now, when I talk about prevention of shrinkage, a lot of stores have one of the biggest problems which are there in the retail segment is shrinkage. This could be in terms of losses, in terms of thefts, or losses in terms of wastage. Okay. Now, store planning can help reduce merchandise shrinkage by suitably replacement of or placement of the items in the store. Prevention of shrinkage. Now, a lot of retail outlets across India have a major problem in terms of losses caused by thefts or wastage. A good store layout can help in terms of reducing merchandise shrinkage by suitable placement of items in the store. Okay, this would enable not only in terms of controlling losses, but also ensure greater visibility of the products. Okay, and reduce shrinkage. Now let's talk about the exterior design. Okay, the look of the store outside is what drives the customer in. The exterior of the store design includes the location of the store. If the store is located in a mall versus is located in a high street, the overall look of the store will change. The store location also includes facilities like ease of access to the store, parking facility, etc. The store frontage and the entrance to the store should be warm and welcoming. Now, this is about the exterior in terms of a store design. Because whenever you look at a store, you know, before the consumer could walk in, the feeling what the consumer should have or the customer should have is that it's a very pleasant place to shop. Or there should be an attraction which would help the customer to get into the store and probably, you know, have an experience in the store by checking products and interact with the sales staff. Now let's talk about the interior store design. An interior design in a retail store depends on the space available in the store, the merchandise being sold, and the aesthetics and the atmospherics of the store. The atmospherics of a store is a visual and sensory communication inside the store. For example, lighting, music, okay, the scent of the store. This influences the customer's sensory perceptions and hence the emotional responses. Okay, now this is something what we have to be very careful about when a customer enters a store. Especially, like take for instance, if the customer is walking into a store which sells, you know, items related, luxurious items, you know, which the customer looks in terms of having it at home. Now, the feel of the store should be such that it is luxurious, so it should smell different. Okay, the feeling of walking into that store should be different as well, because it should feel that the customer is walking in through an experience rather than just a store selling luxurious products. Now, the aesthetics of the store looks at factors like color, texture of the store, size of the store, etc. Store interiors are a function of both atmospherics as well as aesthetics of a store, along with other things like fixtures, ceiling, floors, signages, etc. Now, this is about talking about the layout, selecting the basic store layout, allocating the selling space to different departments, locating departments within the store, organization of merchandise within departments. Now, let's talk about the store layouts. Now, the important things to be considered while selecting a store layout is merchandise is the key consideration at any point in time. A complete presentation of the range of merchandise is critical. A good layout facilitates, you know, a customer to move around and check the store and the various products which are being kept there. The service areas are also critical, and it is important to have a good balance, a balance between service areas and display areas. It is also very important to keep in mind the requirements of women, children, disabled people who may visit the store. One of the most critical elements when planning a store layout. Store design and a layout will also depend on the target audience and the kind of merchandise that has been sold. Now, type of store layouts. So let's talk about the first layout, that's the grid layout. This is very commonly used in all supermarkets across the world. This is something which is preferred in stores which have a self-service as a model. Merchandise is arranged in shelves parallel to each other throughout the store. It promotes easy accessibility to merchandise as well. Now, this is the grid layout for your reference. You may have a look at it before you take it further. Now, let's move to the other aspect, that would be the loop layout or the race track layout. Now, this layout is generally found in departmental stores, where one big aisle runs through the store. Each section may have a secondary aisle to support the main aisle, as you could see it here. Freeform layout. Now, this layout means merchandise is arranged in an asymmetrical manner. It may not allow maximum space utilization, but it allows the shoppers to browse and shop for these. Now, let me tell you, when you talk about the freeform layout. Now, this freeform layout is used in a lot of apparel shops, okay, high-end apparel shops. When the customer walks in with the intention to check the products, Now, the idea behind this is to give the customer an experience in terms of making his purchases, okay, which may not be possible, say, in a grid kind of a layout or any other layout, because then you are not giving him the feel and the experience. Here, the space may not be utilized as the earlier layouts, but this is more with the intention of giving the customer a feel to use the space, take his own time and convenience to select, you know, the merchandise that's available at the store. Now, classification of retail formats. Now, there are many types of retail formats, such as discount stores, supermarket stores, convenience stores, department stores, etc. Now, these retail formats vary from each other on the basis of their product assortment, that is product depth and width, price as well as location. The following is the detailed classification. So let's move to the next slide. The product factors. Narrow and deep product assortment. Now let's understand what I mean by this. Okay, here we are talking about specialty stores. Now these stores have one product category or a very narrow related range of products. Those store, however, stocks large amount of variety in these products. The variety available in this store format is unparalleled and is competitive criteria among these stores. For instance, the IKEA is one such store that stocks very type of furniture in all price ranges and usage, called category killers. Now, these stores eliminate competition in the specific category. Wide and shallow product assortment. Now, the store has a number of products, but stocks are limited variety for all these goods. The store usually has related items, for instance, lifestyle goods for the whole family that include clothes, books, home decor, jewelry, cosmetics, accessories, stationery or toys, etc. The store format is gaining wide acceptance across India as it's a one-stop solution for the complete family. Hypermarkets. The evolution of hypermarkets has resulted in wider and deeper product assortments for customers. These retail formats are characterized by very large retail spaces that are leased out to various brands. So you don't have probably one particular brand which has been sold at these hypermarkets. There are various brands which have been there, where the retail space is being given to them at a lease to sell their product lines. These huge retail formats have many single brand stores in many of their product categories. Location factor, one of the most important aspects which we have been talking about throughout the session. One specific type of specialty store is a grocery store or the chemist, whose critical factor of success is the proximity to the customer. Now, these stores operate on those product categories for which the customer needs convenience of location. The product might be urgently required, like medicines. Some of these products, like grocery items, vegetables and fruits, have to be bought frequently as they would be spoiled if they were stored for a very long time. Price factors. Okay, one of the most important aspects for an Indian customer. Okay, since we are a very, very price intensive or a price sensitive market. Now, some retail stores may charge normal or less prices, while some may charge lower than the list prices on a regular basis. Retail stores that offer products on a list price do not give discount on a regular price, though they may have a lot of sales promotions which may happen within the store. There are stores called discount stores which sell products at lower prices regularly. They can do this because of probably bulk purchases, okay, or economies of scale which work in their favor. These discount stores get price concessions from manufacturers because of the high offload from these stores. Factory outlets are one such prime examples. Virtual merchandise. It's been said that what you see, and if it's attractive, it can sell easily. And that's one of the main aspects when you talk in terms of visual merchandising. Okay, and in a retail segment, visual merchandise is one of the most important tools, you know, to enhance, you know, the whole product segment. Now, retail is no longer limited to the local kirana store or consumption. It is not just another economic activity anymore. Sensory indulgence, grandeur, and a great shopping experience have become a part of so-called retail therapy, or I may say retail experience. Visual merchandise, or VM, is another big contributor to this space. Visual merchandise is a knack of putting together visual communication of the store in terms of product, merchandise, in focus directly to the customer. It urges the potential customer to come and make a purchasing decision at that very moment. Now, this is about the VM guidelines. You have one through the visual merchandising, you're talking about the brand positioning, the store capacity, display standards. Okay. Then you have the merchandising planning input. We talk about collections, sales value, units, margins, and stocks. Okay. Then you have an assortment plan inputs like product mix, price, architecture, a number of options, and the unit depth, what you have at the store. The space management is in terms of space allocation, stock turn, and sales density. Now, these are certain guidelines which have to be looked at when you talk about visual merchandising as a process. And this is what would help you in terms of creating an identity for the store and probably enhance its performance and probably ensure, you know, greater footfalls of the customer. Now, importance of visual merchandising. Or, as I say, VM. VM makes the complete store atmosphere responsive and interactive to shoppers' senses. It is responsible for binding together all elements of a store, including the store design layout, and send out the right image to your potential customers. Shoppers are able to easily locate the merchandise in a store because of a good VM in place. VM can make a focal point in the store for either new products or the best-selling product line. Okay, when I say the best-selling product line, we are talking about the most profitable product line available there. Okay, it helps move the desired merchandise faster. Planograms. Planograms are visual representation of the store's products and services. A planogram defines, okay, wherein and what quantities products will be placed on the shelves. Now, this is useful when a retailer wants multiple store displays to have the same look and feel. Often, a consumer packaged goods manufacturer will release a new suggested planogram within their new product to show how the product relates to existing products and how it should be displayed. Category management and merchandising. One of the key functions of a retailer is offering the right product to the right customer. Which category of products to keep and how much and where to buy from are the most crucial, important decisions to be taken by a retailer on a regular basis. Category management has focus on customization of product categories as a whole by store basis to get the best efficiency of the merchandise. One of the most important aspects of a retail segment or a good retailer is to understand exactly how you can churn the merchandise or how do you replenish the merchandise. And at the same time, how do you ensure there's an inflow and outflow of this merchandise on a regular basis? A stock which takes a lot of time, you know, to be sold off, you know, has to be slowly moved out of the store. Category management and merchandising. One of the key functions of a retailer is offering the right product to the right customer. Which category of products to keep and how much to and where to buy from, etc., are crucial decisions which have to be taken by a retailer. When I talk about category management, a focus on customization of product categories on a store-by-store basis to get the efficiency of the merchandise. Category management focuses on improving the sales of a complete product category, treating it as one unit rather than individual brands. Now, why is category management important? Shopping has become more complex. Competition has intensified, okay, in an already competitive retail market. Okay, to satisfy increasing demands, manufacturers and retailers keep introducing new products and new extensions, sizes, etc. However, space is constrained and the efficiency and shelf management is becoming more and more important. Now, rising investment in SKUs. 80% of the sale is generated from 20 SKUs. Hence, it's very important to understand what is working for each store and what is not. Retailers should avoid overstocking and understocking and keep only the required amount of inventory, this helps them to be more profitable as well. Now, one of the key aspects of any retail segment or any retail outlet is, you know, the stock, you know, able to manage your stocks properly. Okay, the stocks which are high in demand, you know, you need to ensure you are able to replenish it as quickly as possible, because as and when there's a customer at the store, okay, asking for that product, you have that product, you know, to give it to the customer so that you ensure that the customer is happy at the end of the day and you can increase the number of sales in terms of units. Similarly, you know, the stocks which probably are low in demand or which do not have, you know, huge buyers, you need to ensure that you have a limited stock which is available so that it does not take a lot of space in terms of your shelf. And at the same time, it ensures that you are able to keep stocks, you know, which are good enough, you know, to be sold off on regular basis. Micro merchandising. Now, earlier Kirana stores used to be a point of contact in terms of building a rapport with the end customer. The local Kirana shop owner would always ensure that he would not only sell products but also create that kind of a relationship which would be existing, you know, with families as well. However, with the advent of the mass retailers, it becomes very difficult to keep a track of the buying behavior across various stores. Hence, retailers are opting for a detailed planning if possible. So that a store planning in terms of various categories. Now, this would help in terms of, you know, understanding the buying habits and the shopping habits of the customer, and thereby probably improving in terms of relationship and building a rapport as well. Now, this is the category wheel in terms of the category management. You may have a look at this. You start with the merchandise presentation. You have the merchants. You have in-store marketing team. Okay, you have the guest insights, the supply chain, the asset protection, market insights, and strategy pricing. Let's move to the next slide. Okay, let's talk about merchandising. Now, merchandising involves planning, buying, and selling of merchandise. Buying and selling of merchandise is actually the most visible of all retail activities. Now, if you could see a buying and merchandising strategy, set a category objectives, assign category rules, very important. Establish the key performance indicators, what you're looking at in terms of the performance matrix is concerned. The next would be management interviews. Okay, assessment of current merchandise mix and vendor mix. Okay, that's another most important aspect. The third aspect would be assessment of sourcing options, then the competition analysis and consumer behavior study, which is very important when you talk in terms of having a merchandise or selecting the merchandise which should be there at the store. Okay, now the process of merchandise procurement. The first aspect would be the customer's needs identification. Retailer must gather data on this beforehand. Some ways of doing this is through internal sales data, which helps you to keep a track the predicted sale versus the actual sale of the product category. Some other ways are analyzing the market and the competitors, checking with the suppliers, etc. Now, demand specification. Demand specification is crucial so that the retailer is sure he's spending money in the buying the right inventory. These days, a real-time demand can also be predicted using technology. Searching the right suppliers. Purchases be made from the right suppliers. Since the purchase contributes at least 50% of the expense, a smart purchase department can really help in terms of skyrocketing the profits. Evaluating the performance of the product and the supplier. Once the supplier is fixed and the purchase order made, the merchandise starts coming in. The merchandise must constantly evaluate on the basis of sales margins and the shelf movement. A merchandise assortment plan. A merchandise assortment plan helps to take decisions on what merchandises you need to buy, what to put on display, etc. These changes can be seasonal, example in apparels, or depend on the changing consumer buying behavior. Like if I talk about apparels, okay, your winter collection would be very different compared to, you know, the collection what you have probably during the spring or summers. Okay, making changes with a product category while keeping overall range intact, it's a difficult task. Some of the factors which might affect a merchandise assortment plan are, okay, size of the store, location and its fixtures. A small store of around 150 square feet may not be a wise decision for retail apparels. Why? Because depending on the location, it may be a good choice to retail niche jewelry at that particular location, considering the size, or probably toy or a bookshop or books for toddlers, maybe. Profitability of the merchandise. A retailer's merchandise assortment plan should ensure that most of his merchandise profit generating for him. Retailer's experience. Gut feeling of the retailer, especially in a new industry or in fashion space, becomes very important. Now, let's talk about the store brands or the private labels. Okay, one of the most important aspects here. Store brands or private labels are those products which are developed by the retailer, sold through a retailer only. Now, they are also called in-house brands, like the way you have it for Westside, the way you have it for Pantaloons, okay, or Shoppers Stop. You have a lot of in-house brands which are being sold at these stores. Now, these brands may sometimes have the retailer's name on it, or sometimes even the manufacturer's or a third party's name if the brand has been made in a collaboration. The benefit of having a private label at the store is that it gets a better shelf space and is promoted more in the store, okay, because it's an in-house product. Also, since the retailer is able to offer his own brand at a lower rate to the consumer and still make a high profit, it increases loyalty towards the retailer. Now, snapshot of the retailer's depth in private labeling. You may have a look at it. If you look at the top three, you have Trent, Reliance, and Pantaloons, okay, who are considered amongst the top three in terms of private labeling here. Okay, so let's move to the next slide. Let's talk about the supply chain management, one of the most important and integral and critical aspects of a retail segment. A supply chain management, or SCM, in case of retail, is all about providing the right products at the right time in the correct quantity and quality to the right customer at the right location. Yes, easier said than done, right? Okay, when I talk about SCM, or managing the back end operation of retail, is the backbone of any retail business. Without a good supply chain management, any retail operations would suffer. The main activities under the scope of SCM are demand and supply planning. The second aspect would be merchandise sourcing, inventory management, logistics, vendor relationship management. So let's look in terms of the basic supply chain process. Okay. If you look at the picture right here, you would see that there are various stakeholders which are a part of the retail segment. Like you have the supplier, the manufacturer, the distributor, the retailer, and the shopper. And the other most important aspects, you know, when you talk in terms of a retail trade, is the finances which are available, you know, for the segment, plus the product, the product line, what you have, and the information which is there to be shared, you know, with the end consumer. Now, let's talk about the key features of the supply chain management. The following are the key features of the supply chain management. One of the first and most important things is driven by demand. Now, the whole retail trade works in terms of demand for the product or the services. Now, the customer choices are changing more often than not, and markets are becoming more and more localized and customer-centric. Now, when new technologies like RFID has become easier to track the changing customer demands, okay, the supply chain needs to be flexible and adapt to real-time to the demand being generated by the customers. Now, the other aspects, you know, when you talk about the features of a supply chain management, is that it is more technology driven. Technology enables the supply chain. Hence, the supply chain management needs to be technology driven to be more agile, okay, and efficient. And if I have to probably use a word, I would use the term flexible. Okay, strategic vision. Again, another feature of a supply chain management. Development of a good supply chain management needs a strategic vision. Okay, development of logistics, warehousing, cold storage facilities, vendors, etc. need an investment, and hence it needs a vision. Take into consideration, you know, the future aspirations, okay, and the future demand of the product line. Now, benefits of supply chain management. Let we continue with this again. The efficient merchandise replenishment. It's a demand-driven replenishment system, prevents any backlogs or overstocking. Frequent out-of-stock is not a good feature in any retail trade. Okay, as the inventory, frequent out-of-stock is not good for any retailer as its inventory is lying in the store or the warehouse. So that gives a very different picture or a very negative impression to the consumers. The new product introduction. Since a dynamic supply chain takes into consideration customer feedback and changing demands, it helps in increasing the success rate of any products being introduced to the market. Fashion retailers like Zara take advantage of the efficient supply chain and use it very effectively and efficiently. This is called the design to market implementation, which has been highly successful. Better value addition. There are many different intermediaries involved from product to a retail store. However, through a lean and efficient supply chain management, all the middlemen who are not adding any value can be removed easily. This is also called disintermediation, and it reduces the cost and increases the efficiency. Increases profitability. A good supply chain management with an efficient supply chain increases profitability to the retailer by reducing cost, one of the most important aspects. It does not necessarily reduce the cost in terms of procurement of the merchandise at the source, but reduces the overall cost of bringing the merchandise from the point of production to the point of consumption. It brings more efficiency in operations and increases sales turnover, which also helps in reducing the overhead costs. It brings the customer delight and helps gets us repeat customers as well. Now, let's take an example of the supply chain process for Amazon US. Now, the customer places an order online, okay, to the closest of the 7 Amazon distribution centers. The order arrives anywhere between 1 to 7 days. That's the turnaround time for any order. Now, as it's done from point one, it moves to a point two where red light shows workers where products are ordered. Barcodes match with the order product placed in crates or conveyor. It moves to the point three, that crates ride conveyors through the DC. Now, from there, it moves to a point four where the items are sorted by barcodes. Crates arrive at central point, and barcodes of products matched with order items sorted automatically into one of the several thousand chutes into a box. Now, once that is done, okay, it moves to point five. That's the barcode identifies the customer order. Now, the barcode helps in terms of identifying the order of the customer. It moves back to point six, where boxes are packed, tapped, and weighed, and then they are transported to a van. Okay, boxes are shipped by US Postal Service and United Parcel Service, and as a result, okay, the customer gets it anywhere between 1 to 7 days. Now, this is possible for Amazon because of a good and effective supply chain management with the use of technology and at the same time, the integration of various aspects, right, in terms of a trained man force, right, in terms of technology, right, in terms of transportation system. As a result, it has been rather effective in its endeavor. Pricing in retail. One of the most important aspects in retail. The price that a retailer sets for the goods is the monetary cost that is paid by the customer to purchase it. Pricing is a very sensitive issue across the globe. And also the reason for the success of many retailers like Subiksha and Walmart. Following are some of the points which we'll like to bring about in terms of importance of pricing. The perceived value of products, okay, one of the most important aspects here. In a lot of cases, price of a product is associated with the value it provides. A high-priced product is always considered to be a luxury product. A low-priced product is considered to be the one appealing to the masses. Profit targets. The right pricing can help achieve profit targets. Sales volume and profit margins within the right pricing and strategies adopted by competition affect the profit delivered by the retailer. Positioning amongst the competitors. The pricing strategy adapted by the retailer also determines whether it is participative in a price competition. Example, telecom companies a few years ago or a few years back got into a major price war with the introduction of 1 paisa second call rates or a non-price competition scenario. Now, this is something where, you know, every brand or in a retail segment has to be very, very careful. Because positioning amongst the competitors that can give them an edge over the competitors or at times even kill competition. Now, factors affecting pricing. Pricing strategy that a retailer adapts usually depends on more than one factor and involves a lot of decision making. The key factors would be the retailer specific factors and the macroeconomic factors. Retail specific factors, cost of inputs. Now, this is the price which the retailer sources the goods from the manufacturer and has to be taken as a base price by the retailer. Not only this, any other overhead cost or cost of input would be included in the cost of acquiring these goods. Now, this could be in terms of, you know, say a delivery of a good which I get directly from the manufacturer. I purchase it, but the cost of transporting these goods to my store would be an additional cost which have to be added to the final product price, because that would be my total cost in terms of acquiring that product. Now, it could be in terms of delivery, it could be in terms of packaging. Okay, all these costs would be a cost which will be there for the product, for acquiring the product. Once I have that price, there's a profit margin which the retailer would add on to it, which will also increase the price. So one of the most important aspects is the cost of inputs here. So even before I could add my profit margins, if my cost of inputs is extremely high, but the price of my product would be high as well if I add my profit margins to it. But if I can go ahead and reduce the cost of my inputs, automatically I can have a good profit margin and at the same time have a very good pricing which I can offer to my customers. The other aspect here would be the business strategy of the retailer. At times, the retailer has its own business model based on pricing. Example, Walmart's mission statement states, save money, live better. The type of products being sold. The staple goods to be more competitively priced than the fashion merchandise. Also, if a retailer is selling seasonal merchandise, example, woolen clothes, he can charge a premium during winters. Or it could even be in terms of summers or the spring season. Okay, types of buyer. Pricing strategy varies if a retailer is opening a shop in a metro or a tier 2 or 3 city. Location within the metro also changes the prices. This is based on the purchasing power of the residents of the nearby localities. Like take for instance. Okay, the prices of a particular product probably in a store, okay, like a store X in Mumbai, would be priced in a very different way compared to the same product and the same brand X, which is probably sold in a city like Cochin. Now, the price would differ between these two cities completely. Okay, one is in terms of location and one in terms of the purchasing, the buying power of the people in those particular cities. The other aspect here is that manufacturer suggested prices. Now, in some industries, example pharmaceuticals, MRP or maximum retail price is mentioned by the manufacturers, which puts a cap on the price that a retailer can charge. Anything over and above cannot be charged by the retailer, but at the same time, that's the same price at which the product needs to be sold to the end consumer. Macroeconomic factors. Okay, the demand and the supply chain. A high demand of a product and a less supply in the market leads to high prices. Okay, vice versa is also true. Okay, price of commodities, key products. Global prices of some products like oil influence various retail sectors because of its widespread use in transportation. This can be considered as an indirect input to go up. Competition. The structure of the market can determine the pricing strategy. There are four types of market structures with regards to pricing. One being monopoly. There is only one seller of the product, hence it can dictate prices. One aspect would be oligopoly. There are few sellers of the product and there isn't much product differentiation. Example, cement. Perfect competition. There are many buyers and many sellers. However, each player is small and hence cannot influence the price. Market is generally fragmented. Example, fruits and vegetable sellers. Monopolistic competition. Whether a large number of buyers and sellers use different strategies like branding and advertising to differentiate their products. Example, soaps and shampoos, etc. So the pricing of these soaps, shampoos would differ as per the brand positioning. Government policies. Okay, government policies play a key role in determining the pricing of some essential commodities and public services. For example, the government subsidies may be on many basic commodities like cooking oil, food grains, etc., which affects its market price. Higher consumer awareness. Consumers are more aware about the market price thanks to the internet, better connectivity, and higher mobility. Approaches adopted in pricing, cost-based pricing. In this approach, the price of the product is based on the cost of the product and intended profit from it. Okay, so retail price is equal to cost of product to the retailer plus targeted profit. So whenever you talk in terms of a cost-based pricing, you're talking about pricing of the product based on the cost of the product and the intended profit from it. So our margins are already put here while displaying the retail price. So profit margins are always taken into consideration while determining the retail price here. Competition-based pricing. When there are many players in the market, shoppers would usually try to explore and get the best value for the money they can. Customer benefits because of competitive pricing, and retailers try to offer maximum value to customers. Psychological pricing. Many retailers use odd figures to set the price of a merchandise, like a $9.99, say for a t-shirt. Okay, or for example, a $10,900, say instead of $11,000. Okay, now it is believed that it creates more interest in the product. And it also is a psychological trick which has been used that, you know, you are paying amongst the 900s rather than you are paying 1,000 rupees, you know, for that particular product. Discounting pricing. Using multiple techniques of discounting, retailers try to lure shoppers around the year. Some retailers offer discounts in slabs. Some offers markdown prices and others go for a traditional flat discount. Offering gift vouchers on purchases is an interesting way of getting the customers to shop again. Like, if you buy one, you get 10%. You get 10% off. If you buy two, you get around 20% off. If you buy three products, you get 30% off. Now, what happens here is that when the consumer walks into the store, the moment he sees that there are these slabs there, he is tempted, okay, to buy more. Because the more he buys, the more discounts he gets. And this is a way of luring customers, you know, to make additional purchases. Let's talk about the other aspect, the dynamic pricing. This has become one of the most important or the most common in service retailers. They keep changing the price based on the various parameters even during the day. For example, the hotel bookings or airline bookings, etc. The rate might change based on the occupancy, tourist inflows, etc. Franchising in retail. Okay, let's talk about the definition here. The definition of franchising, according to theentrepreneur.com, is containing relationship in which a franchisor provides a licensed privilege to the franchisee to do business and offers assistance in organizing, training, merchandising, marketing, and managing in return of a monetary consideration. Franchising is a form of business by which the owner, the franchisor, of a product, service, or method obtains distribution through affiliated dealers and franchisees. Now, let's talk about the advantages of franchising. Now, one of the key aspects which comes, you know, to the fore is low risk. Okay, so when you start using a franchisee model, of course, the brand is already established. So that means that you have a low risk in terms of endorsing it. Since the franchisor has already set up a business and gone through a process of learning before he started expanding, the risk is much lower for the franchisee. Growth. Since a franchisee becomes a part of a big network, growth of the network means growth of the franchisee. The brand becomes more and more popular and gives franchisee an edge over competitors and has its own area of operation. Operations. Training of employees, okay, best practices sharing across the network, standardization of processes helps the franchises to smoothly follow day-to-day operations. Advertising. One of the biggest advantages of franchising is that a franchisee gets a national exposure at a very minimal cost, as advertising cost is shared by the franchisees and the franchisor. Now let's talk about the disadvantages of franchising. Fees. For a successful brand, the franchisee may be required to pay a huge royalty fee. That can be one of the big disadvantages. Lack of control. Terms and conditions laid down by the franchisor have to be strictly adhered to. Also, the franchisor has the right to terminate the agreement if these policies are not followed. So that could be a risky proposition. This makes the franchisee walk on a tight leash or a tight rope. Now, human resource management in retail, one of the most important aspects for any retail segment to be highly successful. Human resources involves planning and management of employees to create a productive and a motivated workforce. The retail industry poses particular HR challenges because employees deal directly with the customers. One must consider both short-term and long-term HR objectives when addressing these challenges. One of the biggest challenges here is the high attrition. Okay, retail is notorious in terms of having high rate of employee attrition. Okay, like if you have an employee working with a product X or a brand X in one retail store, you may end up seeing the same employee maybe another couple of months in probably a store B. And this is very common across the retail segment in India. This means that employees routinely come and go, which brings several challenges. Training and developing are difficult, time-consuming, and constant if you continuously have to recruit and hire new people. It's like you bring in new people, you train them, and maybe after a few months they leave and you get new people once again. Now this becomes extremely challenging in a very dynamic environment like a retail segment, where the basic success depends upon the number of sales what you do. But if you don't have people at the store to do the sales, or people who have not been trained will do sales, then it would have adverse complications for the business. It is also difficult to build customer loyalty if customers keep seeing new face every time at the store. This is quite common. One can address these problems by recruiting the right people and building a rapport with the employees. Diversity. And this is one of the most important aspects, considering the fact that we have a diverse crowd, okay, with different caste, creed, religion, and cultures in India. A diverse workforce is typically regarded as a good thing. It helps retailer better connect with its marketplace and usually leads to better ideas and results. However, a staff of people from wide varying demographic background might have trouble working together. And this is common with most of the retail outlets. From an HR vintage perspective, the challenge is to manage diversity to avoid major conflicts and promote a spirit of tolerance, teamwork, and collaboration. Now, as we are talking in terms of from the HR vantage point, what we also need to understand here is that the HR itself cannot drive these initiatives. What is also very important is from the business perspective, okay, that there are certain values which are being used, you know, while recruiting people and while nurturing them. A spirit of tolerance, teamwork, and collaboration is something which has to start right from the store itself. Misconceptions. Okay, to build a team of competent and committed and motivated employees, retailers must overcome a number of common challenges and misconceptions about the working environment. Common concerns include long hours, no full-time jobs or benefits, low pay, no growth opportunities. Retailers can overcome these challenges by going against the industry trend. They can offer regular 8-hour work shifts. They can provide competitive pay and benefits to full-time employees. Even if the starting pay is modest, they must do their best to offer tracks to their higher salaries and management positions when an employee has established a good track record. Seasonal demand. Retailers often experience a seasonal demand and fluctuations. The holiday buying is well known as the busiest shopping season of the year. Like Diwali, Christmas, New Year's Eve, okay, is considered to be high in terms of seasonal demand for the retail segment. Retailers often try to add temporary staff during these times. They often wind up with some lesser skilled and trained workers who might not have the best tools to serve their customers. These workers can also alienate regular staff that must pick up the slack. One should develop a plan to assimilate temporary workers during the seasonal periods. Right. That's about it. Thank you.